Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alrighty. Okay. So, jazakumullah khairan everyone for logging in and joining us. I know that we're a little bit late tonight, but such is the nature of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. You know, you go and you pray and, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. The prayers are longer. The du'as are longer. And so, alhamdulillah. It's all a blessing and it's all a blessed night. So alhamdulillah, we're happy that we're able to get together and share some reflections together and be reminded of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, better late than never. And so we're going to start off tonight with the, I'll share with y'all the chapter and verse number, Surah 9. Verses 102 through 104. Okay, I have posted that to Facebook for the folks that are watching on there, and I can post it here.
Already got it, Sheikh. You ready for this?
Yes.
You know what I did? Typed on my keyboard and just copied.
And clicked it. Copy and then pasted over there. Oof!
Size. Large oof.
Oh, man. Okay. So.
All done.
Oh, Allah.
See, people wonder, they say, why you drink your coffee so fast? Do you want it to get cold? Is that what you want?
Can you imagine that?
Strange question. Strange question. Maybe strange people. I'm not sure.
So
we're going to go now, inshallah, Sheikh. Tonight is Surah At-Tawbah.
Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, and ayahs 102 through 104. So there's a little bit of a backstory here, and I will start us off by telling just a little bit of backstory. So the final kind of military expedition, the final campaign in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is known as Ghazwat Tabuk. He traveled one time after that when he went for Hajjat al-Wida', but that was Hajj. So the final expedition, campaign, military endeavor in the life of the Prophet ﷺ was the expedition of Tabuk. We don't necessarily, you know, it wasn't necessarily a battle because there was no fighting, no combat ended up taking place. There was news of the fact that the Romans are bringing like 200,000-300,000 soldiers to attack the Muslims and attack Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ said we need to preemptively move out there and show a strong front and defend, you know, the lives and the faith and the dignity and the property of the Muslims, the sovereignty of Medina. So it was the largest, you know, expedition up to that point where There were 30,000 companions with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the longest expedition. They were gone for two whole months, 60 days, because it took 20 days to get there. They camped out there for 20 days. The Roman army never showed, and then it took 20 days to get back home. It was the most difficult because it was in the middle of summer, like that last part of summer that we know as kind of like August time. And if you live in a very, you know, hot part of the country like we do here in Texas, that month of August can be really brutal at times. Mm. And so it was, you know, very difficult, very challenging. And because the odds that they were facing were so, you know, huge, monumentous, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, "Infiru khifafan wa thiqalan." Every able-bodied adult male had to go, had to volunteer. And everyone was told, donate whatever you can afford to donate. So everyone signed up, everyone lined up, everyone brought whatever they could bring. There's legendary stories. Abu Bakr, Umar bin al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, let me start. Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, supplied a third of the army. Umar bin al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, gave half of everything he owned. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, gave everything that he owned. And so there were remarkable stories. You know, there were Sahaba who were physically disabled, who were still forcing their way to come. There were poor Sahaba who didn't have, like, all they owned was a shirt on their back, and they were still sitting in front of the Prophet, some crying, saying, "Please take me, please take me." Remarkable. It was a remarkable moment, a show of real faith. However, whenever you have these tough moments, you know, there will be some people who struggle as well, right? I know that, you know, I very likely would be one of those people that would struggle. It's very natural. So there were many, and there's a very famous story in Surah At-Tawbah that everyone's familiar with, and maybe we'll cover it one of these nights. I know that when Ustad explains the story, it's beautiful, it's captivating. So the story of Ka'b bin Malik, Hilal ibn Umayyah, Murarat ibn Rabi'ah, the three whom God showered his forgiveness upon ultimately. But there were some other people who are not, like, they didn't live in Medina. They were not Medinans. So there wasn't as much of an expectation from them. They were Bedouin people who lived around outside of Medina in the Bedouin tribes. And one of them was a man by the name of Abu Lubaba. And Abu Lubaba, he was a leader of his people. And he was known as a very courageous man. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. And he and his tribesmen, they didn't end up making the journey. They didn't have as much expected of them as the Sahaba who lived in Medina, but still, being maybe half a day's or a day's journey away from Medina, they were close enough where they would sometimes come pray Jumu'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would come do Eid with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would come spend the last 10 nights of Ramadan with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were close enough, and they had the means and the capability, and they didn't end up going because, you know, things get tough. You get pulled in 10 different directions. A lot is going on in your life, and it just kind of slips through the cracks, as they say, right? And they were not by any means, you know, against Islam, wal-'ayyadu billah. These are companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they just, you know, fell victim to just the very human circumstances that we can all struggle with at times. You know, just as like a little example, you know, you're having iftar with a good friend. You know, if I'm over at Ustad's house having iftar with him, and we're talking and laughing and enjoying each other's company, and time for Isha is coming, and we say even, we should go for Isha. And the next thing you look at your clock and it's 10:30. Like, brother, Isha's long gone. So he's half over, you know, and you kind of are like, oh no, you know. And so it was one of those kinds of things. And when the Prophet ﷺ got back to Medina, Abu Lubaba, he showed up along with, you know, his tribesmen, and said it was about a dozen people. And they basically tied themselves to the pillars of the masjid. And they said, we are not going to untie ourselves until the Prophet ﷺ releases us from here. Like, we are forgiven by Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ tells us that we are forgiven, and then he officially releases us. This is kind of like our gesture of repentance, of penance. And so they tie themselves to the pillar. The Prophet ﷺ, he, you know, comes back, he inquires, what's going on here? Why are there a dozen people tied to the pillars? And they say, Ya Rasulullah, they feel bad that they missed the opportunity to travel with you and be by your side, when really there was a great need. And they are repentant. And this is how they are trying to, you know, basically pay their penance and demonstrate their sincerity. Yesterday, Ustad talked about sincerity. Right. If you didn't get a chance to listen, you can go to Saad's Instagram and you can see the video there. It's on the podcast as well, the Qalam podcast. It's on the Qalam YouTube channel. But Ustad talked about sincerity in repentance. So this is how they're demonstrating their repentance, then their sincerity. About a half a day went by, and Allah revealed these verses that we shared with y'all. Chapter 9, Surah number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verses 102 through 104. I will read the verses and read the translation of it. And Ustad Abdurrahman will, you know, enlighten us with some points, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Wa akharuna a'tarafu bidhunubihim khalatu amala saliha wa akhara sayyi'a. Asallahu an yatuba alayhim. Inna allaha ghafurur rahim. And there are others who have acknowledged their faults. They mixed a righteous action with another action that was bad. It may be that Allah will forgive them and relent towards them. Know that Allah is forgiving and merciful. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Take charity from their wealth, with which you will purify them and help them grow and better themselves, and then make dua for them, pray for them. Know that your prayer for them and on their behalf brings them peace and tranquility and comfort. Allah hears all and knows all. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Do they not realize that Allah, He alone, is the one who constantly accepts repentance from His servants, and He accepts the charity that they offer in His way? And know for a fact that indeed Allah, and only Allah, is the constant acceptor of repentance and the one who is always merciful. So these are the beautiful verses. Allah revealed these verses, and the Prophet ﷺ walked over to Abu Lubaba and the rest of them and said, guess what, my friend? Allah just revealed these verses. You are forgiven. And then the Prophet ﷺ made dua for them, as Allah told the Prophet ﷺ to. And then he released them from the pillars, and they went back. And they used to, Abu Lubaba and his tribespeople used to oftentimes, you know, kind of like brag about this moment. They said that, we know we made a mistake. We know we made a mistake. But it was still a very beautiful moment for us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledged us, and Allah forgave us in the Quran. And told the Prophet ﷺ to pray for us. And the Prophet made dua for us. So how can we not remember that moment fondly? And there's a lot there for us to think about. Ustaz.
SubhanAllah. Just some things that come to mind as far as how, you know, this just hits very close to home. You know, these ayat, like, it could be talking about any one of us, right? The first thing is that in ayah number 102, Allah Ta'ala, He says that a'tarafu bidhunubihim, that these people, they acknowledged their mistakes, they acknowledged their sins. And the first step to any tawbah has to be that a person has to at least admit their faults. And even in, like, interpersonal relationships, if you get into a dispute with somebody and then the next day you just try to go back to normal without acknowledging and working through the mistake or whatever it is that you had you know, come between the two of you, then actually in its own way, it's kind of like more offensive even than the original mistake. You know, like if a person did something wrong and then they just kind of moved on without coming to terms with the fact that they did something wrong, then the person who's wrong just feels like, man, I guess I'm not worth anything. So, you know, it was one thing to be wrong, but now you're not even willing to talk about it. And so it's interesting, right? Because we talked about sincerity yesterday. And, you know, when you have Abu Lubaba and his tribesmen tying themselves to the pillars of the masjid, you know, it's like, it's in a way, it like makes you chuckle because it's just such a, I mean, in all honesty, it's just a beautiful display of sincerity. They didn't know what else to do. Like, what else?
There's like a beautiful simplicity to it.
It's like almost like a childlike. Yeah. Yes. It's like when your kid like grabs your leg and just won't let go, you know? And so the language of sincerity is just like, it's just you can't stop it. You know, it's immutable. Mm-hmm. If a person's sincere, it cannot be redirected or stopped, you know? Mm-hmm. And, it's almost like they're like, I'm not going to leave unless I'm forgiven.
Subhanallah.
You know what I mean? And in its own way, that personality or that, you know, that disposition is so amazing, you know, because I think that there's two sides to the spectrum. There's a side that's, I'm never going to be forgiven, and which is, again, a problem because you're limiting Allah's mercy. And then there's a side which is, Allah will forgive me anyways, which again is, it's not that that's a false statement, but it's that what's behind the statement is
the presumptuousness.
Yeah, it's like taking someone for granted and just, you know, and that can actually discount. It's not that Allah won't forgive, but that can discount the forgiveness, right? Because, you know, it's not that I don't want to buy you this. You know, if my son wants a toy and he's asking and begging and my heart just feels soft and I give it to him, versus him coming up to me and saying, hey, can you get me that? You should get me that.
Yeah, like, hey, get that.
Yeah, it's like, you'll get that for me. I know you will.
Yeah,
and it's like, hey, easy there, buddy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your statement is, so I think when it comes to tell what I'm learning from these verses as Sheikh, you're teaching us is, you know, you just have to put your mind to it. You know, when you want Allah to forgive you, you almost have to ask yourself, like, how am I proving this to Allah? How am I proving it to Him? I know that I want it, and Allah knows everything in my chest, in my heart, in my mind. He knows that I want it, but in what way can I, beyond any reasonable doubt, show that His forgiveness is all that I want? And again, remember, in our human relationships, things like bringing home flowers, sending chocolate, you know, taking someone out to lunch, those are all not apologies themselves. Those are just the way that we deliver the apology.
Yeah.
Right. And so how are we delivering the apology to Allah? It's not really about the apology itself, right? It's how you deliver it. And so, you know, being alone by yourself on your prayer rug at midnight, making wudu, having your face in your hands as you're whispering to Allah, I'm sorry, I need help. Please make me stronger. Please allow me to, you know, give me the strength to not be so angry or so, you know, have my desires conquer me, or, you know, that alone, like just that moment is like an Abu Lubaba moment, you know. So that's something that really stuck out at me, is that Allah begins by saying, you know, he's very appreciative. Those are the ones who acknowledge their sins. That's the first thing He says. You know what I mean? So, and then of course the description of everybody here, which is that, you know, that khalatu amalan salihan, that they mix their good deeds with their bad deeds, right? And it's just everybody. You know, we try, and it's like one step forward, two steps back, you know? Mm-hmm. We do something good, we do something bad, and it feels like we have positives and negatives all day, and then we're just trying to equal out at zero, right? At the end of the day, we just want to equal out. And so to hear this description in the Quran, I feel like it gives me hope, you know? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know,
it's a fair thing to say, right, Ustaz? Because again, like we talk about, we have these conversations all the time, but it is a very real thing that sometimes it can be a little, there can be like a level of almost kind of intimidation that, you know, there's kind of, you can feel kind of crushed under the pressure of expectations that you're almost kind of creating in your own head. Like you're kind of getting in your own head that's, you know, I got to be perfect. And if I'm not perfect, then I'm doomed.
And Sheikh, you and I talked about this a lot. You know, even Mufti Muntasir and I, who's, you know, the reason why I brought it up with him, interestingly, is because of his specialty, you know, talking about hadith and the authenticity of certain narrations, and not just a hadith, but also athar and different narrations that are attributed to different people. And I think that, you know, when it comes to trying to motivate people, there's two camps, right? The one camp is to show the ideal. Mm-hmm. And the one camp is to show the real. And what I've discovered is that it's not really either or. You have to use both strategically. Even to yourself, you have to use both. You know, there's tarhib and tarhib, right? There's beautiful. You have to be able to...
Bashiran wa nadhiran.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be able to balance out. So, you know, there are the stories of people reading, you know, doing a khatm of Quran every day or every 3 days. Imam Shafi'i, like every 3 days or... And you have all these amazing stories, which is great. But then, you know, every Muslim in the world right now looks at that and is like, wow, you know, they just don't know. Like, it's like, they don't know how to relate to that. And then you have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ saying that, you know, the person who reads and stutters, they get twice the reward. And you're like, oh, okay. Now that makes me feel like I can do something.
Yeah, there's an authentic narration that somebody who reads 10 verses, 10 mm-hmm. verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, in the evening, like at night, and if they pass away anytime within the next like 12 to 18 hours, they basically automatically immediately go to paradise.
Yeah, even Surah Al-Mulk, if you just read Surah Al-Mulk every night, it protects you from the punishment of the grave, you know.
And so there's something like that, so practical, so like the real, I guess. Yeah,
and I think knowing both is helpful. But some of those stories, I think we were really told, you know, a lot of the stories that were really extraordinary, and maybe a little bit in proportion, disproportionately to the other side. And mm-hmm. so like a lot of us grew up maybe like a little bit hopeless.
Mm.
You know, like as a 33-year-old now, I'm like, man, when I was a teenager, all I thought about Islam was that it was too hard. That's all I thought. No one ever told me the story of, you know, Ka'b. No one ever told me the story of Abu Lubaba. Like, nobody ever told me these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. You know, they tried their best, I guess. But I think, you know, when it comes to the community, when it comes to how we approach community, we have to be able to, and this is Quran. This isn't even us trying to interpret something. It's like literally in the ayah itself, mixing bad deeds with good deeds.
Yeah, that's a very good point that you make, that this isn't like some kind of interpretive license that we're taking, or this is not us kind of picking and choosing different kind of stories from, you know, 500-700 years ago, et cetera, et cetera. We're just focusing it on certain personalities from Islamic history. No, this is literally the words of God in the Quran.
Yeah. And then you have the next verse. Allah Ta'ala says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ, that take from their wealth. And this is like an uncomfortable conversation, because...
And you talk about this a lot, that there's something very powerful about that giving.
Yeah, I mean, صَدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said very clearly, it's a self-evident evidence. Like, if a person gives sadaqah, it's... You know, Burhan means like this really strong, strong proof, undeniable.
Yes.
And the reason why is because, you know, when you give something, it's kind of like, this is the thing that Allah knows every human is weak for. And so if you've been able to give it up, then wow, you know, you must have really meant it.
As an old man now, it's like looking at your credit card statement, your credit card statement or whatever, you know, your bank account statement, whatever it is that you use to purchase things, that tells you what your priorities are.
Yeah, exactly. You know who you love, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, you know, tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim, right? And biha, the idea is like, it's not just doing it because you're punished, but you're actually gaining from this. So in a way, you're investing it, right? So you're taking your money and you're saying, it's not a penalty in that way. right? Because penalties don't really care about you benefiting. If I get a speeding ticket and I have to pay the city of Irving $100, I'm not benefiting from that $100.
I'm not going to get like a tax deductible receipt.
Yes. Like I'm not even getting a thank you card. Thank you for speeding. We appreciate your $100. You know, I just pay my penalty and that's it. And hopefully in 3 months or whatever, it can not be on my record. Right. But here Allah is saying, take from their wealth as charity so that they can be purified. And, you know, in a way it'll cause them to be increased, right? It'll increase them in their faith and in their, you know, in their iman, in their taqwa, in their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's the idea that, you know, everything in Islam ultimately is for your benefit, not for Allah. Allah doesn't need your money. What's he gonna, you know, logically speaking, what's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't need your money. Like, no one needs your money. But it's a symbolic act meant to show you that this money that you love, that is your temptation, that is the thing that takes you away from Allah, that when you give it up for Allah, you actually get more than you ever thought you would, right?
Mm.
And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being told to invoke Allah's blessing upon them, right? وَصَلَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Because maybe if they, you know, they would understand that صَلَوَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. It's when they, you know, and this is like amazing because they know that they messed up. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is being instructed to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon them, to keep them in his prayers, to make dua for them, to speak to them with, you know, with beautiful language and du'as, then Allah is not only worried about their wealth, but he also wants their hearts to feel better.
Mm.
Because people cannot forgive themselves. You know, Allah forgives us, but people can kind of hold themselves and they can say, you know, oh man, I'm so bad. So if the Prophet comes to you, and this is the same as the Battle of Uhud with the archers, you know, they know that they messed up. They know that they made a huge mistake. And so Allah Ta'ala says, you know, that, you know, to forgive them, to pardon them. And not only that, exactly. So you have the pardoning of them, seek forgiveness on their behalf. And then also make sure you involve them when you discuss things. Because if you make them feel outcasted, then they're going to be like, man, we messed up so bad. He's not even asking us what we think anymore.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't even care. And that was one of his characteristics, was that he used to take shura all the time. So it's like, man, we really messed up. So it's just beautiful how Allah Ta'ala is so concerned about every aspect of the person, like make sure that their heart is feeling better, make sure that they, and take from their wealth, but realize that this is only going to be better for them. Okay. And then Allah Ta'ala obviously is the all hearing and the all knowing. And then the last verse is that Allah Ta'ala is asking this rhetorical question, that do they not know that it is Allah who accepts repentance from his servants and receives charities, and is Allah who is accepting of repentance? That at the end of the day, your relationship with Allah is the thing that's going to be benefited by your tawbah.
Mm.
If you do tawbah, if you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is saying he hears you, he sees you, he knows that you're seeking his repentance, and you're going to wake up tomorrow a better person. You're going to wake up tomorrow closer to him than you were. So these verses, subhanAllah, if earlier today I didn't feel inspired to make dua tonight, I definitely feel inspired to make dua tonight now, because this is just the, it's almost like a description of all of us, that we know that we make mistakes. We, one step forward, one step back, you know, fighting ourselves all day long. And then Allah just tells us, look, at the end of the day, as long as you're trying, as long as you seek forgiveness, as long as you do your best, give some sadaqah here and there, do your best, dedicate yourself to Allah, then realize he's the one who accepts repentance from his servants. And he's the one that will be accepting of everything that you do. And he is the one that is most merciful. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us amongst those who can seek his repentance. Because honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, man, there's so many sins that I committed that I forgot about, that I can't even remember. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even ask Allah to forgive me for them.
Ajay.
You know, so when you ask Allah, you say, oh Allah, you know, forgive me for the sins that I remember and the sins that I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because at some point when you normalize sin, it becomes like problematic that you can't even remember what you did.
Mm.
And remember, if you never prayed for that, then that might be left on your balance. Right. So very beautiful, very beautiful, Sheikh. JazakAllah khairan for your explanation and your education and wisdom on this. And I hope and pray Allah Ta'ala makes us amongst those who seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala every day.
Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan, everyone, for tuning in, as always. We will go ahead and kind of keep it nice. So the Facebook, YouTube people don't see that. Is introducing us to. No, you're fine. Just introduce. Okay. Oh, there we go. There we go. Sherlock.
Do it. There we go.
He just flopped over.
Why is he so happy is my question. What's going on? What do you know that I don't know?
Just he's happy that you're going to pay some attention to him now.
That's true. That's true, mashallah.
But want to thank everyone for tuning in, and we'll keep it to here so that, inshallah, it's, you know, practical and doable, not too heavy, doesn't go, you know, too late. I'm sharing the link, you know, qalamlive.com, where, inshallah, you can go there and be reminded of this coming weekend, the 27th night of Ramadan. That'll be kind of Saturday going into Sunday. We're going to be having the annual Qiyam program. It's always a very special night. A lot of the instructors that you know, that you benefit from, learn from, and listen to, will all be congregated together to share reflections just, you know, very, inshallah, good, spiritually beneficial nights that we'll have, inshallah. So you'll be able to tune in, and we'll be streaming the whole thing live. So please do plan on that, mark it on your calendar. As always, you know, keep the work that we do in your du'as. Continue to pray for us and our families and the work that we do at Qalam in terms of the education, at Roots in terms of building what we hope is a model community in the spirit of Medina. And so, inshallah, continue to pray for our work. And, you know, if you find it in your heart, if you have benefited from the work, then be the source of somebody else benefiting from it as well, by going to supportqalam.com sharing that link with others, with family and friends. And with that, inshallah, I will go ahead and ask Ustad if it's okay if we go ahead and close out the program, inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah. All right. We ask Allah to accept, and we'll see everybody here same time, same place tomorrow night, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.